Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 224. So today, I'm again interviewing Jonathan de la Zodiaca of Spring Valley. He is the founder and president of Spring Valley in Rojas City, and he is super connected and central to a lot of the happenings of the outsourcing industry. He's been in the industry decades, almost as long as the industry itself. He was the executive director of IBPAP, which is the industry's official association. He's currently the president of PSIA, which is the software association for the Philippines. And he is the president of the NICP also, which is the provincial-based Internet Communications Technology Association. So he's a super good guy to know and knows the industry inside out. So I'm honored to be interviewing Jonathan, but also honored to be a guest down at his Spring Valley down in Rojas City. It's an inspirational place, and we talk about that more here. Of course, we have previously spoken to Jonathan, and if you want to get more backstory, more background, then go and listen to those episodes, which is 211 and 219. But again, this podcast is completely independent, and you'll get a huge amount from it. So if you want any of the show notes, of course, as always, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/224. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back. So today I am super excited to be joined by Jonathan de la Zodiaca. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Perfect, Derek. You did that perfectly.
It's almost rolling off the tongue now.
Always eager to have a conversation with you.
And so I'm going to call you JDL from this point, as others do. Just give a brief introduction as to your past, and you know, you've been immensely involved in the development of outsourcing here in the Philippines, and you're also founding and heading Spring Valley here. How do you describe yourself to the person in a cocktail?
Well, I'm no stranger to outsourcing operations, being part of companies such as Convergys, Teleperformance, ePerformax back in the day, and then I started getting into leadership roles in industry associations. I was once an executive director of the IT and Business Processing Association for the Philippines. Currently, I'm the president of the Philippine Software Industry Association, as well as the president of the National ICT Confederation of the Philippines.
So. Fantastic. And so we are in Rojas City, sitting in Spring Valley, which is the Philippines' answer to Silicon Valley. We're both sitting here in kind of beachwear. You've got a Geeks on the Beach t-shirt on.
Right.
I feel now the Philippines is really at the forefront of innovation. And there's startup meetups, there's pitching meetups all the time in Manila. And Geeks on the Beach is a tech startup conference on a beach.
Institutional event already.
Yeah. And it's a good change to like cold New York or cold London, thinking that kind of geeks and startup and tech can all kind of hang out here in the tropics. How do you see the climate for innovation? And the Philippines has been more traditional and also a little bit, I suppose, subservient and kind of being told what to do in terms of the customer service and BPO. Now it's their time to really kind of lead in terms of innovation. How do you see that whole sea change with the sort of younger generations happening now?
I think it's worth mentioning, Derek, that the experience that we gained in terms of growing with the outsourcing segment of the Philippines, and especially the BPO sector, we've learned a lot of lessons, and it's still going to be formidable for us. It's still going to be a unique value offering of the country moving forward, because apparently, despite all of the disruptions in the other nations, especially the Western world, going deep into digital, there's still going to be some important touch points that would require human intervention. But that being said, the population of the country is about 104 million Filipinos. We have a very young workforce, wherein the average age is basically about 23 years old, which also means that you've got a very tech-savvy workforce.
So it's also highly, highly literate, great levels of English, high levels of university graduation.
It's increasing. You know? So we usually announce to the entire world that there's 500,000 university graduates that we produce. It's slowly inching up to become closer to 700,000.
Right.
The value that this country puts on education is immense.
Mm.
In fact, the only impediment really is that most of my countrymen, which is, a sad story in itself, could not afford university education.
Mm.
And the public sector could not answer to that challenge as well. So, everything being normal, I think we're going to have more than 700,000 graduates every year.
Mm.
Because there's really no shortage in terms of the younger generation wanting to get educated. In fact, I always tell, foreign friends of mine that the provincial Filipinos would do anything, sell their carabao, sell their land, sell their house, so that at least just one offspring would get a decent education. And once that particular individual graduates, then it's his or her responsibility to get the other siblings into formal education. So. But the inclination of the youth right now is getting more towards digital than anything else. My son, for instance, is taking up game development. I'm trying to toy around with the idea that 10 years ago, if I had a child that was going into university and he would ask me, "Dad, I want to go into game development," I wonder how I'd react, right? But it's only been 10 years, and right now it's one of the most sought after academic disciplines that's out there.
And it's a surprisingly big industry. Apparently more is spent on game development than the entire movie industry and the entire music industry combined. Yeah, it's a massive, massive kind of sleeping giant, isn't it?
Well, we are all addicted to games in one form or the other.
And it's maybe not spoken about, because it's kind of not as cool as going to the movie on a date, is it?
That's correct.
It's sort of something you do. You don't brag about it.
It's a very private thing.
Yeah.
It's a very private thing. But looking into my hazy crystal ball, I think this entire inclination towards technology and innovation and I think it's no secret that the Philippines has been sending a lot of my countrymen outside. It's more than 13 million overseas Filipino contract workers, and some of them are really, really on the professional level. Talk about software developers and engineers and architects.
But that's part of the opportunity, but it's also a brain drain then isn't it? And it takes the brains out of the country, takes it splits up the families.
We've been talking about a reverse diaspora for the longest time, that hopefully all of these professionals that have had lucrative careers outside would come in and bring their experience with them, and that's going to figure out into creating a digital Philippines eventually. But as luck would have it, this country has always been quite benevolent and would really want to open its doors to everyone else in the world. So I guess the digital journey of the Philippines would still also involve servicing requirements of other countries.
Mm.
So
that's good. I mean, China got rich from making other people's stuff.
That's correct.
And also educated themselves by other people's stuff. And now they're probably one of the best in the world at it. It's kind of a means to an end.
They're certainly way up there.
Yeah. And about education then, everything is digitizing and education is probably, it's slow to change, but you know, I imagine your kids, they're kind of, and I tell people this, the audience, and I tell people this in the US, they're like, kind of, what's it like in the Philippines? And I'm like, the kids are, the level of English is incredible, which really opens up the entire world, because the kids are brought up on a diet of YouTube and, you know, if they're into computers, they're just in the sort of the blogs and the forums that every other US kid is. If they want to learn coding, it's probably a coding academy that the same kids in Silicon Valley are using online. It's really, again, it's just creating this singular global network, isn't it? And I think where previously the Philippines had a disadvantage because it was geographically separated.
That's a big challenge.
It's not really that friction isn't really there anymore, is it? Especially for the sort of young kids that are just being brought up on computers and iPads.
Well, we're now sitting in a nation that has more mobile phones than there are people. So I guess that that says a lot about, you know, how, you know, the mindset in the new generation is going to figure into the future of the country. 7,400 islands connecting all of that is really a big challenge. But now, because of the opportunities brought about by newer technology, I think that gap is beginning to dissipate a little bit. In fact, we have to thank the BPO sector for that too. You know, prior to the BPO sector coming into the Philippines 10, 15 years ago, there was really not much influence to develop, you know, other places outside of the main metropolitan areas in the country. But now, since, you know, a huge chunk of the large third-party outsourcers discovered that, number one, 70% of all the graduates actually come from outside of Metro Manila, and why don't we, the next logical question there is, or action point is, why don't we go to where they are instead of inviting them to come over here? But of course, there was always a question of infrastructure. And, you know, these programs like Digital Cities and Next Wave Cities of IBPAP together with PSIA and the newly created Department of ICT has made it possible for, you know, traditional, backward provincial areas to be the next centers of excellence for IT-BPM. And apparently, when you've got the infrastructure in place already, it's fairly easy for you to add a layer of academic intervention. Right. Because these kids nowadays, you know, and I'm not just restricting this to the Philippines, you know, you give them access to education, they will eat it up, regardless of where they are in the world right now. You know, you get into YouTube, you could practically study, you know, anything that you would want to.
Yeah. And with the, you know, I suppose doing full circle then, we've spoken about the evolution of outsourcing, but we've come at this now, this time from the world is changing and digital and innovation. How do the two worlds meet then in terms of the traditional outsourcing, which is call center? Is it all going to evolve into a sort of KPO, which is knowledge process outsourcing, really kind of high value stuff? Or is the BPO sector going to kind of wither and die and there's going to be a few tech labs around? How do you see, you know, because the BPO employs about 1.3 million people now, and if that went, it would really kind of hamper the country. How do you see this all kind of ending happily?
I think there will be contraction in one form or the other, right? The clients of third-party outsourcers will now discover, you know, that, you know, it's much cheaper, it's more efficient to get into the tech play rather than, you know, to see the traditional butts on seats, you know, people wearing headsets and answering their customer concerns. Aside from the fact that their customer profiles are also changing, you know, as the consumers get a bit more younger, their patience to actually wait and dial a number and wait for somebody to answer it is also slowly waning.
It's all just on, you know, Facebook chat now.
Right, right. So with that being said, what we're looking at here is an opportunity more than a crisis. Because you've got a very well-trained workforce that is accustomed to servicing other geographies. The discipline is there. You know, you can't even begin to imagine working from 9 o'clock in the evening till 6 o'clock in the morning, and you're doing it with a smile. You're receiving, you know, issues and problems, and you have to resolve all of them throughout the entire shift. So it's very challenging. We could see that the workforce is up and about, and they're up to it. You know, they tackle this head on. So with that being said, I think the future for us is really to leverage on what we currently have. Because the strength of the communication here in the Philippines, especially English communication, is relatively strong. It has been further enhanced by, you know, the long experience that we've had, especially with the outsourcing sector. And the third is, the challenge for us really is to do some upskilling and reskilling. There are certain things that I think won't be as easily disrupted as, you know, the traditional by-the-book checklist type of procedure of service delivery. And these are the creative and emotive requirements in terms of growing a business. And if we could upskill and reskill most of the people that would be affected by some level of contraction within the traditional IT BPM outsourcing business, then we're still a little bit ahead of the next competition. There's also some contraction happening in terms of the number of significant players that are still going after the traditional, you know, outsourcing pie.
Who aren't able to evolve quickly.
Right. And also there's a lot of mergers and acquisitions that's happening. So we need to be cognizant of these, because this is happening. You know, the bigger ones would now want to get more market share, and if the only way for them to do this is to buy out their competition, this will continue to happen.
And Spring Valley, then, you know, it's kind of a relative to outsourcing, and you really it's kind of the incubation innovation sort of back end service potentially. Like, do you see that as a big upcoming opportunity in the world for the Philippines, not just to be someone else's call center, but the Philippines to really outsource the innovation, the incubation, the back end, all of the processing for some of these new Silicon Valleys and startups and unicorns?
Internally, the way I view Spring Valley is the monkey wrench that you basically throw into, you know, a well-oiled machine that's running, right? It just basically tells everyone, all our internal stakeholders, you know, let's stop this and let's try to figure out, you know, what else we could do. For the rest of the world, I think it's our offering to showcase that we could partner rather than become, you know, just the service provider. Because if you walk into the sacred halls of the Fortune 500 companies that are really deep into disruption, including the tech companies that, you know, have been, you know, dominating the boards in the US, you could see a lot of Filipinos there, right? But then again, they're doing a lot of very nice things for other people. And again, there's our propensity to actually think of creating new things for ourselves and establishing things that could go global. It's not really that prevalent. My dream is for Spring Valley to become the springboard for my countrymen to actually grow globally significant companies that would then reinvest in other countries. You know, most of my career, I've been the inbound guy. Every time there's a new investor that's coming into the country, you know, I could almost recite the song and dance routine for the Philippine IT BPM sector in my sleep. My wife usually tells me that. And I wish that I could do the same and return the favor to some of the nations that have invested in my country's foothold in terms of the IT BPM sector.
Yeah. It's definitely a bright future, isn't it? You know, and I think seeing things like Silicon Valley and just the general youth and vibrancy and education levels of the Philippines, it's really got got a bright future, isn't it? Both in its own volition, but also I think in being that partner for the rest of the world as well.
The one of the biggest mind shifts that we require in the Philippines is that there is no such thing as one time big time. We have to look at this from a very long-term perspective. Some of the courses that we offer here at Spring Valley would require that we train 8-year-olds on animation, or 9-year-olds in terms of electronics and IoT. And obviously, if you're looking at it from the usual, I'm going to train you for 2 months and then you could hit the phones afterwards, It's not even apples to oranges. It's totally something different.
Yeah.
But we need to develop that long term mindset wherein we have to plant the seeds now in order for us to reap this 10-15 years afterwards.
Yeah, it's amazing. Thank you so much. And if anyone wants to learn more about you or Spring Valley, how can they get in touch?
Our website is www.springvalley.tech. We're on Facebook as well. It's Spring Valley Technology and Innovation. Or drop me an email, jdl@springvalley.tech.
Thank you, JDL. It's been amazing.
Thank you as well, Derek.
Okay, that was Jonathan de la Zodiaga of Spring Valley and many other things. So if you want to get in touch with Jonathan or know any more about this podcast, go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/224. And as always, if you want to get in touch with us, just send us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.